ladies, it's Angela Yee. As women, we put our hearts into everything. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month, and it's time to focus on our heart health. Release the Pressure wants to help Black women look at self-care as an act of self-preservation. During High Blood Pressure Education Month, let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP for official rules and a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. That's iHeartRadio.com/RTP. It's Angela Yee, and I love to travel. My friends in the U.S. Virgin Islands and I are inviting you to experience their beautiful islands of St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John. USVI is literally one of my favorite places. If you're traveling from the U.S., no passport is required, making travel hassle-free. I love the food, the people, the culture, and the beaches. Gorgeous. Add USVI to your vacation list by heading to visitusvi.com. That's visitusvi.com. USVI, naturally in rhythm.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up? It's Way Up with Angela Yee. I'm Angela Yee, and we have a very special Wealth Wednesday today. And wealth is not only about finances. It's all about health, too, right? Because what do we say? We say health is wealth. And it is also Minority Health Month. That's a time to talk about health disparities and how we can improve our health and the health of our communities. Now, we'll be specific to New York City today because we do have health disparities here and heart disease. All right, cardiovascular disease, which includes heart attack and stroke, is the leading cause of death in New York. And stroke prevalence is higher among Black adults in the state than all other racial groups. So I have a great panel of people here today. And I'll introduce you one by one, but I'll start with you. Paula Wheeler is the co-founder of Black Health in Atlanta, but you're from the D.
Yes, I'm from Detroit.
You're from Detroit,
yeah.
But now in Atlanta, and you went to college in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about how what Black Health is and how you founded that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Black Health is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to advance health equity in Black communities by implementing anti-racist programs, advocacy, education, and research. So it's an organization I started with three of my very close friends from Emory. When we were in school at Emory, we were learning a lot. We were getting our master's in public health. And we were just learning a lot of, like, facts about health disparities. So every day, every class, we would, like, see all these graphs that were, like, obviously Black people appear. We have higher rates of everything. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna, you know, die sooner of a lot of different illnesses. And so we were learning all of these statistics. But, you know, it's easy to kind of take away from that, that, like, maybe there's some potential, like, biological issue with Black folks that's causing that. But what we really start to have conversations about amongst ourselves was that really it's racism, systemic racism that's causing those health disparities that we see. So when we graduated, we were like, let's do something about that. Like, let's try to,
I love this.
You know, start an organization. And when we started, we were really just like open to anything. Like, we would take any opportunity, any like anything anyone asked us to do, we would do it. And so but now we've kind of really honed down some of the things that we provide. So we provide health education, anti-racist and critical race theory, education and training to emerging and current health professionals. We also do just like nationwide public health programs, as well as global. We also operate in South Africa. And we do research, advocacy, and our community health events, which we really love doing. And, you know, Angela, you were part of one of our events.
Yeah, Congressional Black Caucus.
Yeah, exactly. So last year's Congressional Black Caucus Foundation's annual meeting, we did an event in partnership with Amgen. It was our Heart Health Equity Panel that you hosted. Mm-hmm. Did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Dr. Jones was there with us as well.
Speaker Carl Hasty was
there.
He was in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, we have great pictures of you, actually. Yeah. And so we're just really happy to be able to bring a lot of the things we talked about in that conversation to the audience today.
Well, listen, this is just an intro and there's a lot to unpack, but we're going to introduce everybody and then have the conversation, because you said so many things that I think are going to be so important for what we're about to discuss. But next up, Speaker Carl Hasty from the Bronx. Is that
the
right?
Bronx,
or I just want to make sure.
The Bronx. Best bar in the city.
Proudly from the Bronx. He's the Speaker of the New York State Assembly. And so for you to be here, I know a lot of what you do has to do. You're always out in the community. Mm-hmm. And I remember during the pandemic, like, you were front and center making sure that people were getting taken care of. And so I just want you to talk about why what you do is so important for making sure that there are healthy people here in the city.
Well, as you say, Angela, you know, health is wealth. And for me, we just want the whole person to be okay. From a government standpoint, and particularly for me, I want to make sure that people can have a good job, have a place to live, and they have, good health. And so I try to, you know, stay in my lane, and I take the advice of experts, and I probably just try to find the way in the funding to make sure that we can do that. New York, and particularly the Bronx, the Bronx is known as the most unhealthiest county in the entire state of New York. And it's also the most minority county of any in the state of New York as well. So it's a challenge. You know, are we making progress? Yes, but the mission is not finished yet.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Dr. Warren Jones, who I had the pleasure of meeting when we were at the Congressional Black Caucus last year, you have a powerful story to tell. This is something that's near and dear to your heart. You are a family physician with expertise in cardiovascular health.
Yes. Your heart is the center of the family, more than your physiologic heart. It's your emotional heart. It's your intellectual heart. It's the center of the family. You can't be a family physician without focusing on that. My belief strongly is that if we can keep families' heart healthy, we can keep them together longer. A lot of people focus on how do you add years to someone's life. Mm-hmm. But I want to focus on how to add life to those years. Mm-hmm. And the way that you do that is by having a healthy, strong family bond. You eat together, you work together, you work out together, and you pray together. I'm so excited to meet the speaker because I went to school in the Bronx for 2 years at Dewitt Clinton High School and lived apart.
He loves you already just from that.
Not far away from where he was. I was at 147th and 3rd, 149th and 3rd. So I understand the burden that exists in that area, and I remember it from all those years ago back in the 60s. I've had the pleasure of gaining a platform where I can share information by being the first black president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. And it's not, that academy represents over 184,000 family physicians across America. It's not about look at me, it's about how do I leverage that position to get the right messages out. For instance, one of the things that Ms. Wheeler talked about was health disparities.
Yes.
I would ask people, is diabetes a health disparity? And they'd say yes. And I'd say, is heart disease a health disparity? And they'd say yes. And I'd say, neither one is a health disparity. They are symptoms of health disparities. Mm-hmm. It's the systematic problem, the system problem that creates the disparities. So I like to have people be aware of what's the difference between the disparate conditions and the the infrastructure that creates that problem. And I'd love to talk with you more about that today. I'm just so excited to be here with you. Thank you for the chance to be here.
Oh, no, I'm excited. I learned a lot from you when we did that panel together. That's why I'm really excited that you're here. And Paula, like, with the work that you're doing, I was telling you on the way here, we were riding together, and I was talking about my own issues that I've had. And I think all of us, if it's not personal, but we have somebody close to us that has had, heart issues and heart disease. And so I can say that within my own family. I know, for myself, I know you reached out to me initially because I've been open about the issues that I've had with my cholesterol being really high when I was young. You know, I was in my early 30s, and the doctor told me, oh, your cholesterol is so high, it will be an issue for you later if you don't take care of it now. And fortunately, I was able to find that out early on. and really make some changes in my lifestyle that were permanent changes that I had to make in order to make sure. And it's been fine ever since, but definitely something that I continue to monitor. And so when we talk about that, Paula, I was also telling you, I also read that people will tell you that in the Black community, we don't have the highest rates of high cholesterol, but when it comes to heart disease, we have we die at a higher rate than any other group of people. So can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. And for Black Health, we really like to focus less on kind of like individual actions and telling people, you need to do this, you need to eat healthier, you need to do that. Like, those things are obviously very, very important. But for us as an organization, we really go back to what you were getting to, Dr. Jones, those social determinants of health. Mm-hmm. And how, so social determinants of health are the non-medical factors that affect your health. So it's things like where you live, the quality of your education, the access to the kinds of food, nutritious foods or not. And so we know, like, Detroit, New York, Atlanta, you know, all the places that our people live, like, there's a lot of residential racial segregation. And so issues like that, like policies, things like redlining that are still operating, that, like, racial segregation, that causes Black people to have less access to these health-promoting resources, to those social determinants of health. So that's why you can look at almost any issue, you know, health outcome, particularly cardiovascular disease, and you see these immense differences by race with these health disparities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some things you've learned, Carl, just from being in the Bronx? And like you said, the issues in the Bronx that you guys have had, and what are some things that you feel like have been useful or helpful? And what are some of the pushback that you feel like you receive when it comes to residents?
Well, we do try to do that as well. As I said, you know, when I first got elected speaker, we said we wanted to have a family's first agenda by uplifting all aspects of a family, and particularly women who are, in, you know, in Black households, often the leaders of those households. We just tried to do all of those things that uplifted. So, of course, trying to put an importance on funding education, funding higher education, making sure that people do have access to healthcare, and still trying to push people from using the emergency rooms as their primary care physicians. That's often the biggest challenge that I find in the Bronx, getting people to want to go to their doctor regularly and go get the regular checkups. It's like people often are behind and just trying to push. So we're really just trying to move the whole structure that surrounds people, and particularly people of color, just try to move them forward.
And Dr. Warren Jones, I talked specifically about cholesterol right now. So can we discuss that a little bit? Because some people might be listening and not understand. Because I know even for me, I mean, I learned this in school, but I still need to keep getting it, like, ingrained in me, the different types. Because there's good cholesterol, there's bad cholesterol. How can you monitor that? What's the problem with the bad cholesterol?
Yes. Well, as you learned in school, cholesterol is a compound. Okay, it's kind of a waxy kind of substance, and it's found all over the body. One of the problems that people don't recognize is when we talk about heart disease, the same way cholesterol affects the blood vessels in the heart, it affects the brain, it affects the kidneys, it affects the liver, it affects the eyes, it affects all of it. So the cholesterol is something we've got to be careful to learn about. There are two categories of cholesterol, three actually. There's something called triglycerides, and there's low-density lipoproteins and high-density lipoproteins. The triglycerides, we don't really worry as much about because it's easier to manage them. They're short-acting. It's the HDL, which is your good cholesterol. You want to have high numbers. Okay. You get that by doing all of the things that I don't really do as much as I should, by eating healthy and exercising and working out. So, you know, you don't get a gut like this by working on your HDL all the time. But then there's the LDL, the low-density lipoprotein. That's the one that people usually call the bad cholesterol. And the reason is because it is most readily turned into the plaques, that line. Imagine you've got a hose pipe in your backyard, and rust or dirt builds up in that hose pipe and begins to block off that hole, and you can't get the water through. That's what cholesterol does to your blood vessels. So it's the cholesterol that builds up that leads that to be a problem. And when you've got a low density lipoprotein that's high, you got much better chance of having that. So what are we worried about? My goddaughter niece had a stroke at 39. Mm. Fortunately, she lived. A lot of people don't.
Right.
I'd give talks and I'd ask, how many of you had someone in your family that had a stroke before age 50? And over half the audience's hands would go up when there were people of color.
Right.
And it got to the point that even my own daughter died early on from complications of heart disease. She had some signs of congestive heart failure in her 40s. And I told her she needed a defibrillator, mm-hmm. something to shock her heart back into functioning. And I said, talk to your doctor about it. She went and talked to her doctor, and he said, well, we can manage you without it. 3 weeks later, she was dead.
Wow.
Clinicians often don't listen closely to women if they don't take care of the women regularly. If you have that longitudinal relationship mm-hmm. where people know you, you know them and they know you, then you have a good example. We all saw during COVID where this female physician actually chronicled her own demise.
Right.
From complications of COVID, where the system did not believe her.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she was drug seeking, even though she was a physician.
Right.
Describing her symptoms. So that's one of the challenges of the symptoms. But so we've got to work with health professionals and folks in your community, your listeners, they've got to say, I want my doctor to listen to me.
Yeah, because sometimes you go to the doctor and they don't have a lot of time. There's patients waiting and they're trying to get you in and out. And it might be something. Hey, ladies, it's Angela Yee. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. It's crucial for us, especially as Black women, to focus on our heart health. We pour our heart and soul into every aspect of our lives, but often our own health takes a back seat. That's where Release the Pressure comes in. It's all about us, Black women, seeing self-care as an essential act of self-preservation. Whether it's for yourself, your family, or our community, your health is invaluable. Let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Here's how you can join in. Head on over to iHeartRadio.com/RTP for official rules and a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. Let's make our health a priority. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP today. Together, we can make a difference in our health and our lives. Join us and let's take care of our hearts together. What's up? It's Angela Yee. And if you know me, you know I have several businesses. Well, one of them had closed down for a little while, but we just reopened it. And that is my juice bar. It's called Nourish Spot BK. And as soon as we reopened, we were really on the clock to find people who can make juices, sandwiches, acai bowls. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/wayup. Maybe you see the perfect candidate. Well, ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. You can invite your top choices to apply, and you can even encourage them to apply sooner. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/wayup. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/wayup. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Wrong and you're telling them or you feel rushed, so you're not able to really like explain in detail. And sometimes they'll tell you, well, you'll be fine. If it keeps on bothering you, call me back. And you're like, okay, because you don't want to be a bother. Well, you know, and you're thinking about, okay, there's a line of people and they're just trying to rush me out the door, but you need to advocate for yourself.
When you get in front of that doctor, you're the most important person in the world. Mm-hmm. But you've got homework to do. When you get, before you go, make a note to yourself of the things that you want to make sure and to document the symptoms you've been having,
right,
so that you can effectively and efficiently convey all of that information. But if you want to wander, there isn't time for that.
Right. The other thing people have to stop doing is Googling stuff to see. You know how people will have something wrong and then go on Google and then diagnose themselves?
Yes.
I'm a little guilty of that sometimes. But honestly, you know, it is important to make sure that we have our annual checkups. And like you said, document and make sure when you go in there, you know what you're going in there for. Because sometimes you'll be like, okay, this is, let me just Google this. Oh, I just need some, you know, X, Y, and Z to try to fix this. And it could be something that the longer you wait, it's worse. Like if I didn't go when I did, it could have been way worse for me later. Mm-hmm. And even knowing what you want to get checked out for, like when we go to the doctor, what should we be asking? Like what type of testing should we be having done?
Well, Angela, you mentioned a funny story. If I eat a lot of processed foods, I end up having GI issues. Mm-hmm. And so, as you say, going on the internet, I thought I had everything, colon cancer. And I remember while I was, they were taking me in for the colonoscopy, I remember saying this to my doctor, and he said, stay off the effing internet. That's
right.
What you have me
yes.
for. But, you know, but I was very descriptive with him. And I do think, as the doctor says, you know, you got to be honest. Tell your doctor what's going on, what you're feeling. Don't hold anything back when you go talk doctor. Typically, black men are the worst.
Yes.
I'm not one of those. You know, fortunately for me, I have every doctor's cell phone number. I'm annoying to all of them.
Have a cough.
Yeah, I just, to that point, because I think with us, you know, I think the body is a wonderful machine. Most times it does tell you
yes.
when something is wrong. And I just think we have to sometimes listen to our bodies and communicate that to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. That is so critically important. Listen to your body. Way back in 1971, when I started medical school, not when the earth was cool, just after that, my professor said, if you listen to the patients, they will tell you what's wrong. Mm-hmm. They may not give you the diagnosis, but they'll tell you enough so that you know what's wrong. And so one of the things I try to do today is to teach young doctors in medical schools to listen to their patients. And I tell patients the best thing you can be is an informed, intelligent, motivated person when you go in to see your doctor. That's the best of all circumstances. Mm-hmm. Best.
Yeah. And so what should we be asking for? Like what type of testing? I definitely want to know that because I told Paula this earlier, so when you watch the video, you'll see. But the reason why I went and even was doing like blood testing and everything was X that was cheating. But, you know, what should we be asking for when we go, when we're getting? Because I remember even getting my life insurance, you know, they do everything because they want to make sure that you're in good health before they issue that policy. But when we go to the doctor, what should we be saying we need to get done just for a general checkup?
I mean, I'll say for me, you know, I was in a car accident, I'd say in like the early 90s, and I'd say, you know, maybe 20-something years later, I found that I have bone spurs on my neck, and sometimes it triggers and I get this excruciating pain. And I'd go to my orthopedic doctor, and he'd compare the x-rays, and he says, even though there's no change in the x-ray, he says, but I don't care what the x-ray shows me. I care what you're telling me that mm-hmm. you're feeling. So I think that we should never back away from what we're feeling and just be as honest and descriptive as you can with your doctor about what you are feeling. I feel like that helps, even though I'd say what I saw on the x-ray looked like there was no change, but mm-hmm. I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, and that's a very real thing. Doctors want you to talk to them about pain rather than you're going to talk to Miss Sally in the community who tells you to buy all of this stuff
right.
that you waste your money on and you don't feel better.
The tiger balm.
But one of the things that you can do, this is one of the times you can go to the internet. Mm-hmm. There are recommendations from something called the United States Preventive Services Task Force, mm-hmm. and they recommend, and at your age group, the kinds of things that you need to be screened for.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
If you look up the USPSTF, United States Preventive Services Task Force, for your age, it'll tell you age and gender. It'll tell you, and I would encourage you to make a list of those things. Don't take them to the article. Mm-hmm. Make a list of them and ask that of your doc when you go in. I had 11 brothers and sisters. I've only got nine now. And I can tell you that for the last 40 years, I've been telling them to do that. And they end up going in there and getting what they wanted. And they're living longer because of that. So I would encourage you to do it.
Now, what role does family history play when it comes to cardiovascular disease?
It plays a big role. It's not always the decisions you make. It's sort of your genetic makeup also. That's why there's something called familial hypercholesterolemia or familial hyperlipidemia, where even though families may eat well and exercise, that in certain family lines there's a genetic potential predisposition. So what we're doing now in science is we're looking for genetic markers. Mm-hmm. And these genetic markers are telling us who are the people that are at greater risk. One of the things that most of your women on the phone, on the program will learn about is the genetic testing about breast cancer.
Right.
We now know which families are at higher risk. And there are other, heart disease has similar kinds of things that are being developed. And, but I can tell you that with the medications that exist and the changes in your exercise and eating, you can overcome those challenges most often. If you're honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. So, if you live in a community where it's not a safe place to walk, get together with the speaker and some of the folks and go to Walmart and say, dedicate a section of your parking lot where we can walk safely. A Rite Aid.
Right. And I learned today, too, Angela, you're already kind of doing something like that with your running club.
Oh,
like,
yep. And I started my run club really as a way to get people who normally wouldn't work out to come and do that. So you don't have to run. You can walk.
Yes.
You can jog. So now we can ask Carl to join us.
And I want to touch on something you said earlier, Carl, about colon cancer and how a lot of times Black men don't like to go get tested for certain things. And that's an issue that's really near to Black health, because we had a very big national and still do have a national colon cancer screening program. Because something that's very important for us is kind of building this bridge between the Black community and doctors. Because we know a lot of times it's hard for us to actually get there, whether it's where we live or our relationship. Is a lot of mistrust between our communities and the medical system. And so where we kind of come in as a nonprofit is to try to help provide people with resources that they might not otherwise get. And so one of the ones I also wanted to plug was, it's a program that Amgen has. You can go to whatismyldl.com and actually find out information and find out your eligibility to receive a free LDL or like that bad cholesterol to get a free LDL test. So go to whatismyldl.com and get more information on how you can get one of those tests. If for some reason, you're unable to right now go to the doctor and you just want to have that information for yourself too, there are free resources. And so for Black health, that's really important for us to like give people free resources and take some of that out of the clinic, and put it in people's hands.
People will tell you that racism doesn't exist anymore, depending on who you ask. But can we talk about racism in the healthcare system and how that does affect our community?
The Institute of Medicine did some research. After many years, folks were saying we're being treated differently and having different outcomes as people of color, and that there was disparity in the way we were managed. And it wasn't until that research actually occurred by the Institute of Medicine, they showed that for fully insured Blacks and fully insured brown people, that the quality of care they got was significantly lower than the quality of care offered to fully insured whites. Now, we're not talking about people who are poor. We took the best, of both communities. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go to the internet, look up the IOM report on health disparities, and that'll show you, there's a graphic to show the difference. Mm-hmm. So race plays a big role. The big problem I would ask you to do is to try to find a clinician, a physician, a nurse practitioner, someone that you care, that cares, that you seek for health care, who can identify with you someone that's either has a similar background or similar gender, because the cultural relationship in healthcare is critically important. Yeah. I'll tell you about another family member who complained for a lot of time, many years, about a misery in her side, and I kept telling her to tell her doctor. When I finally moved close to where she was, I had her to go see a female physician that I knew would listen to her. She saw on a Thursday, did a CT on a Friday, and Monday removed a big cancer off of her kidney.
Wow.
The misery on her side for those 3 years.
Hey, ladies, it's Angela Yee. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. It's crucial for us, especially as Black women, to focus on our heart health. We pour our heart and soul into every aspect of our lives, but often our own health takes a back seat. That's where Release the Pressure comes in. It's all about us, Black women, seeing self-care as an essential act of self-preservation. Whether it's for yourself, your family, or our community, your health is invaluable. Let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Here's how you can join in. Head on over to iHeartRadio.com/RTP for official rules and a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. Let's make our health a priority. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP today. Together, we can make a difference in our health and our lives. Join us and let's take care of our hearts together.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
One of the most important things is having our voices represent us. And that's why Black representation in media means so much to me and also to the Black community. When things happen with current events and entertainment and politics, it is so important that we are speaking for ourselves and not have other people place a narrative on us and who we are, and to tell those stories from our point of view. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
It was a cancer.
For 3 years.
That nobody would listen to her enough to be able to take it from her misery to something physiologic. So you got to find a healthcare provider, a doctor that you can communicate with, especially surrounding heart disease and cholesterol management, because it affects so many different systems, as we talked about.
Right.
And I'm sorry, everybody doesn't have a master's in communication of heart information.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Well, governmentally, one of the biggest challenges that we're looking at, particularly amongst Black women, is maternal mortality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's been a huge issue here, where we've come up with a legislation to have a commission to study why it seems that more Black women seem to be dying during childbirth than other women. And as you said, it's not women who are just on Medicaid. It's women who have private insurance are still not getting the same type of quality of care as their white counterparts who are having babies. So governmentally, like I said, I try to take the information, make sure that we can have legislation and funding to try to figure out some of these challenges.
Well, I thank him for that, because it's not just maternal mortality or fetal mortality. You've got young, well-insured people, like in my own family, who still have small for gestational age babies born with low birth weight. And they're fully insured and they eat healthy. Mm-hmm. So a lot of research needs to be done. because babies that are born small are at greater risk of having problems later on.
Right.
And I think that, Mr. Speaker, if you can have them take a look at that as well, I think that'll help immensely. American Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecology has a working group on attacking fetal mortality. The track star, Allison Felix, spoke to us last year, and she talked about her own experience, how she almost lost her life with pregnancy. And now we've got the track star out of Mississippi who just lost her life last year. So I hope that that work gets funded and done, because we're losing too many intelligent, beautiful Black women and their babies to this condition.
And you know, one thing that I have seen people being more aware of is doulas.
Yeah.
And the necessity of having a doula there with you to advocate for you and know the questions to ask and know some things maybe not necessary, some things maybe you do need, and having somebody there that is well-versed so that they can make sure that they are speaking up for you or telling you what it is that you need to know, or when you're not able to make a decision on the spot about something, being able to give the information that you may need, because there's times that women are having C-sections that they may not need to, you know, again, like just so many different things that we may not have the information to know what to ask or what to even say. So I think that's something that has been really helpful lately, because doulas is something I only heard of maybe in the past few years, but this has been around, you know, way longer than that. And Speaker Hasty, you know what I wanted to ask you about, too? We were talking about these social determinants of health. And so what about stress, right? Like, because I feel like stress does add, you know, to cardiovascular disease. And obviously, Dr. Warren Jones, you can tell us more about that. But what are some things that you see people stressed out about the most in New York that can cause health issues?
I'd say lack of secure housing is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the big three: lack of access to health care, lack of access to employment. You know, those are usually the big three motivators of stress, and we see that even follows through. And I've even tried, even when we're looking at educating our young people, that often we seem like we only worried about what was happening, you know, to Johnny while he was in school for those, 6 hours. But we also have to look at what is the environment that Johnny's going home to, and what is his parents going through that sometimes can affect the entire family. So that's why we're trying to, as I say, you try to look at not look at these things as in silos, but how do they all come together when it looks at even an individual person? You know, do they have a job? Do they have good housing? And then as it goes on, into the children. So those, I'd say, the big three things that can lead to stress.
Because sometimes people feel physically ill from the stress.
Yes.
So is that a real thing?
Yes, it is a real thing. Mm-hmm. There were actually some studies that were done by the NIH about 10 years ago that would, these were studies that were done in the rat population, and it showed the stressed rat, the normal rat, okay? And they were able to show how not only did the structure of the rat change to where it was skinny and malnourished, but it also had genetic changes that led to his offspring or her offspring's potentially having problems with stress. So it's a very real, real thing. I tell people, don't freak out about the word stress. Mm-hmm. There's two types of stress. There's EU stress, eustress, and DIS stress, distress. EU stress is what you get when you're about to shoot, go and run that track meet. When you go out to run with your friends,
right.
That surge of energy, that's eustress. That's good for
right.
you. It's the distress that's harmful. When you're worried, how am I going to feed? How am I going to do this? And how am I going to do the others? So the number one thing I think causes problems for many women surrounding stress is getting access to behavioral health support in order to decompress some of that stress and help them to learn how to deal with it. And so they internalize it, because nobody wants to be viewed as weak.
Right.
Okay. But I think the thing that bothers me is that women are the key to the health of a family.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not healthy,
right.
How can the family be? It's your fault. Okay.
No, but we talk about this a lot, too, in our anti-racism and health
yes.
workshops. You know, like how racism causes poor health outcomes.
Yes.
We teach just that concept. And stress itself, like stress that can come from racial violence and discrimination, that has a direct impact on negative health outcomes. But then exactly as you were saying, Speaker Heastie, like, there's a lot of stress that is caused by these conditions in which people live, unsafe housing, poor access to food, and just all the day-to-day things that people go through. And then that has a negative outcome, negative impact on mental and physical health outcomes. So it really works in a lot of different ways.
You know what else I want to talk about, too, as we're discussing this? Okay, these drugs that... like Ozempic and Wegovy, all of that was for diabetes, right? But now a lot of people are taking that for weight loss issues, and then I see lawsuits popping up. I see all kinds of things happening. So Dr. Warren Jones, I want you to just let us know, when is it time to get on this medication? Is it harmful for people who are doing this? I mean, because, listen, obesity can lead to, a lot of times, to heart disease, right? So I just want to get from you, Dr. Warren Jones, not from the internet, you know, your thoughts on that, because I do know a lot of people who are taking Ozempic.
She sure knows how to put you on a hot seat. Ozempic is designed to help your body to metabolize the sugars you take in and when your insulin isn't working well. That's the concept. But one of the things it does is it helps your body from taking in too much sugar. And it's that extra sugar that you're not taking in that's causing your body's weight to go down because it's going out in your bowel movements. There are certain people for whom those types of drugs are not helpful. If someone has irritable bowel disease or some other GI problems, that may not work well for them. If they have problems with severe constipation, okay, it may not work for them. Okay. I really would ask people, don't make a decision. I was looking at something this morning, and it was saying, you don't even have to go see your doctor. Just write to us, and we'll have you talk to someone, and we'll send it to your home.
They would encourage the black market ones, too, that everybody's trying to get.
Don't do that.
And marketing them to, like, women, because I get them all the time. Ozempic and these, like, just write in, and you can get it.
Folks, For some individuals, that class of drugs may be the answer from having a bypass surgery or something else. But you shouldn't make that decision on your own.
Right.
Take it to your medical home. That person or the team of people that are your usual and customary source of care, those people whose phone number you have, okay? That when you walk in, they'll say, hi, Ms. Wheeler, it's good to see you again. Go and talk to them. And have them help you to make an informed decision. Now, just remember that you also got to know when to stop. Some of the lawsuits come from something called Wegovy face, where some people lose so much weight that their facial structures begin to slide down because it wasn't
managed. Don't want that.
Well, it's once you start losing weight, you're gonna it's called Ozempic face, and Google it. Okay.
Well, I've seen
But so that's why it needs to be done in a clinical setting. Done in a clinical setting. Right now, there's too much of me to hug, but I am not a candidate for Wegovy or Ozempic. So somebody, you guys are just stuck with me. Okay.
You know, I do want to see for all of us here today, what are some things that we do in recognition for ourselves to make sure that we remain healthy and that we are taking care of our own cardiovascular health? Because I know for me, having had that issue, it's something that always has stuck in my mind ever since I had that high cholesterol. I was like, I do not want to have to be on medication for the rest of my life. And it's something that I've made lifestyle changes, but it's always a work in progress. And so sometimes I fall, but I get back up.
There you go.
And so there are certain things that I've implemented in my life long term to make sure that I'm, you know, doing better than I have in the past. So why don't we start with you, Paula?
Sure. Yeah. I love this question. And I was telling you earlier, too, that I also was told by a doctor that my cholesterol was a bit high. And that kind of shook me up as well. And so I started to implement things very similar to you, Angela. Like, I go on walks a lot. I walk my dog and I make sure to go on long walks with my dog, just so that I can, you know, exercise, get that, like, low impact activity in my day. And then I'm also really big, back to our conversation about stress, like, I think a lot about what is stressing me out and trying to eliminate those things from my life, particularly as a black woman, knowing how heart disease is for us. So I'm like, look, if this is stressing me out, if this guy is stressing me out, if this whatever this is stressing
he's
me
gotta
out,
go. This
you are not good for my health. So, yeah, I really am really like very big on my mental health and my stress levels. Yeah.
And Carl, I know your job is stressful.
Okay. You know, I'd say, to be honest, after the whole Andrew Cuomo, the question of impeachment, that was really a lot was on me. I know the center of attention was on him, but with the New York State Assembly mm-hmm. being the ones to decide whether he would be impeached or not, yeah. I really say, like, after that summer, I says, you know, I cannot let this job consume me like that. So I said, I'm going to start doing me things. Soon after that, I started to learn how to play the guitar. I can't play 8 Prince songs now.
Okay. And, Prince is his favorite. If you follow him, you know that, even though he's not wearing purple.
But I just started, you know, I do have a treadmill in my house. I have a treadmill in my apartment in Albany. We built this beautiful, brand new YMCA, which I'm a member. I haven't been there, you know, recently. And as you say, sometimes, you know, you stay on top of it, and then sometimes you fall off. I find that my weight kind of is worse when I'm in Albany, because sometimes I feel like I do stress eat.
Right.
And as soon as I'm done, I can get back on my healthy regimen. But it's like you just try to get better. I do try to walk a lot. Mm-hmm. I have Marcus here who drives me. He hates when I tell him I want to walk because he doesn't want me to walk by myself. But, but I just try to do those small things. And really the managing of the stress, because sometimes with the stress, it can trigger, you know, the issue that I have with the bone stress from the car accident. So I really just try to figure out ways to just relax, de-stress. I like to, you know, play video games and you know, do fantasy sports to kind of give me something outside of this, you know, job that I love that is actually tough. But doing more me things, like I said, the guitar is a really big stress reliever. My two guitars, you'll mm-hmm. love this. One is named Dolores and the other one is named Dorothy, which is after 2 Prince songs. Yeah. They do sleep in the bed with me sometimes.
Why not Lisa and Wendy?
That's true. But you know, it's more of the girls in the songs. But you know, as I get more, well, I named the new car Nikki. So, but that's kind of what I do.
I love it. You're so genuine. I love it. I'm excited to be here.
And what do you do, Dr. Warren Jones?
Believe it or not, I learned to compensate. I put myself in a mindset where I'm not going to let this bother me, okay? And I try to manage my own expectations mm-hmm. instead of letting people set the expectations for me. Sometimes people will look at me sitting down watching a game, and they don't realize that I'm doing mental gymnastics that whole game. Okay, and I'm working on things. And my wife gets upset because she'll know I have a big talk coming up, and she'll, when are you going to work on it? I've been working on it for 3 days.
Right.
Okay, but then I get out and I walk. Mm-hmm. Something very simple that people can do. If you're in a building, walk the stairs instead of the elevator.
I said I do that, yeah. When I'm in the airport, I don't take the walk, moving walkway, I walk.
Yeah, two up and one down every day. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to do it. And also, you know, really, just put a reminder. I've got this watch that says, stand up and walk, you idiot. Okay? Pay attention.
It says it to you.
It does say stand up. Okay. Time to stand.
It says that you
it
idiot.
It doesn't say you idiot.
My wife is in the background saying you idiot, okay? So, I mean, even if she's not home, I still hear her, okay? No, but and you also got to find somebody who can egg you on, who can function in your best interest with you and for you. Because there are going to be some times that you're going to say, I really don't want to do this. But there's somebody that look at you that you know cares, mm-hmm. and then they will say you really need to.
Right.
And that push will help sometimes.
Yeah.
The caring environment will work. And
accountability partners. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
All right.
But thank you for the chance to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, just think again about how Black women have the highest rate of death and complications of cardiovascular disease. And who are the most important people in our African-American society?
Yeah.
Our mothers, our daughters, our women. Okay. And we've got to help them to be healthy.
Right.
And let them know that we love them enough to care about them. So get them to go and get their screenings, because my wife makes sure I go, and sometimes I have to remind her to go.
Yeah. And honestly, and also passing it down to the next generation. Sometimes we have such bad habits from our whole lives. And our parents had such bad habits and our grandparents had such bad eating habits. And those are things that we, you know, can pass down. And even like going to school and public school, the things that they feed you at school. It's just a lot of things that I think in the environment that can, you know, continue to keep this going. But we have to be more aware. And I think for everybody listening, if you have a family, if you have children, just think about making sure that they're doing things better. And sometimes that's leading by example.
Yes.
Making sure that you do things better. You know, get a juicer at home.
Yes.
And put some fruits and vegetables. Delicious. And you can make your own juices with your own favorite fruits and vegetables at home. You know, and then your kids will start to, you'll give that to your kids and they'll realize it tastes good. And so it can be healthy and delicious at the same time. It doesn't have to be healthy and nasty. You can have great tasting things at home.
And one of the problems the speaker probably has in Albany is everybody wants to take him out to dinner to meet with him and pick his brain.
Yep. So, and if they're paying. Okay,
no, you can't do that.
They want time. They want FaceTime. FT.
But actually, you know what it is? I don't do a lot of that if it's not like a fundraising or an official dinner or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just stay. I call my apartment the cave.
Okay.
I kind of just, you know, stay there. But really what it is, it's the snacking while you're sitting around. That is more than the you know, people have chocolate. You know, we have a members lounge. I try to get more healthy things.
Yeah, they should have some fruits in there. I noticed that.
No, we do. Mm-hmm. We do have healthy foods in there, but it's the intermittent snacking that I think is what kind of.
She said, yep.
You got testimony over here from the Amen Corner.
Unfortunately, one of the receptionists has a big candy bowl of like the mini Kit Kats.
We have this problem up here at iHeart because there's always like some sponsor. We have food every Wednesday, you know, and it's like a lot of food.
So
and
it's
every
right.
day.
It's not the big meal. It's the snacking.
Yeah.
The little snacks that I think kind of get.
Well, I only eat one meal a day. I started 8 in the morning and I ended 8 at night.
I was like, what? Okay, now I get it.
But I was just saying, you eat 8 o'clock in the morning for the whole day. But I
yes.
It. No, it just goes all day.
Well, how can people reach all of you? Because we do want to learn more about Black Health. And again, if you guys want to get your get more information, you can go to myldl.com. What is myldl.com?
Yes.
And that's where you can get more information on how to get a free LDL test as well. But Paula from Black Health, how can people reach you?
Yeah, please. We want everyone to stay connected with Black Health. We have a lot of exciting programs. I mean, almost everything we talked about today, we have a program coming up this year that's going to address it. So please find us on social media. We're on all social media platforms at Black Health. That's BLKHLTH. Thank you so much, Angela.
No, thank you. And again, that's whatismyldl.com. That's how you can get that free LDL test. Now, Speaker Carl, do you want people to reach you?
Sure. If people want to know, they do anyway. But if people want to try to understand or ask, you know, what are we doing, I'd say in a government sense of, on all of these topics that we talked about today. And of course, Angela, thank you for, you know, for doing this, you know, friendship that we've had over the years. I appreciate you caring about Black people. But you can reach me at speaker@nyassembly.gov.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Dr. Warren Jones?
Yeah, I invite people to feel free to reach out to me if I can assist you. But I just want to advise you of something. I can't treat you over the phone.
Okay.
But if you've got a question on how to phrase something to take to your doctor, I can help with that. Mm-hmm. I can give you friendly advice, but I'm not going to treat you over the phone. You can use my email at drwajones@gmail.com. And feel free to ask a question. The worst questions are those that are never asked. Okay,
That's a fact.
So if we can find a way to do it. And I just want to tell you, I heard about Black Health long before I met them. You got to be the change you want to see.
I love how
in
it
your
started.
Community.
Yeah.
You got to be the change you want to see. And they're being the change by going out, by structuring things, by interfacing with folks who are willing to fund. You got to be the change you want to see. So thank you for that.
What if you have somebody who you love close to you that you cannot get them to go to the doctor?
Word the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. Every time I've got folks that are smoking and I tell them all the time, stop smoking. So they start walking around so they don't have to see me. But seriously, worry them, but from a position of love rather than annoyance. Because if it's annoyance, they're going to turn you off.
Right.
But if you can find a way to convey that, but you know how much I care, And that's why I'm saying this to you. And but I tell you what, if you're afraid to go, let's go together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with you and I'll sit out there. And if you want, go see the doctor and you can have him send me a copy of the report and I'll go over it with you. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you got to give them a comfort zone.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. For them to know that it's safe to do that. I hear things about people that their family members will never, ever hear. Mm-hmm. Because they've got to have, they know that with me it's a safe zone. So you got to find a way to have that with someone. Okay. I'm sure the speaker has that too with people right. that come in there and confess in his office the same thing. You know, we got to do that for each other. And that's how we spread the love.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, we're a loving encampment.
Well, I do that to strangers. If I see people smoking, yeah. I walk up to them and say, those things are going to kill you. And I say this with all just love and affection. Yes. And I just want you to, and I say that to complete strangers. Yeah.
So I will say, I'll put my public health perspective on this one, which is just that, like, as a public health practitioner, a lot of times what we think about is like harm reduction instead of just totally. So with smoking, like a lot of people, it's hard for them to just stop. So I had someone I love dearly who smoked a lot, and I would tell them, like, just document, like, how much you smoke, and then next week try to smoke one or two less in the week. So, like, just reducing over time, and so that's how I show love and understanding compassion and going along with them in that journey, too, because it's like, just do what you can to get a little bit more out of life, you know?
I like that. So, Carl, next time you go up to somebody, say, listen, document how much you smoke and just try to reduce that. Yeah.
I have done that, though. Yeah. The people who, they struggle saying, like, with weight and things like that, I tell them probably, to me, what the easiest thing was when I wanted to start to lose weight was cutting out the sugary drinks. Mm-hmm. That was the...
Yeah.
Because you could still get to eat as much as you did, but the amount of sugar that you take in, I can't even drink those things anymore. They're so sweet. But that was one way for people who, you know, struggle with their weight and stuff like that. But you don't realize how much calories you actually drinking these super sugary drinks.
And read the labels, too. Sometimes you're buying things and you think it's healthy.
Yeah.
And then you read the back and you're like, whoa.
Or it'll tell you what it is for one serving, but it's really 2.5 servings in the bottle.
It'll be like, this is 95% juice. And you're like, what type of juice?
You know,
what does that mean?
And Angela, one of the other things you can have people do is be innovative. You know, every time I talk to someone in January, they say, this is what I'm giving up for the new year. And then they only last 1 month.
Right.
So then I ask them, why don't you come up with an innovative solution? Why don't you say, this is what I'm sacrificing this month. Mm-hmm. If you can get through the month with fewer drinks, okay, I'm going to go back. And then the month after that,
right,
I'm going to do it again. And you can get in the habit of finding out you really can live without those things, especially now that this is Black Health Month. We want to focus on that and come up with some healthful ways of doing things.
All right, perfect. Well, Paula, thank you so much for putting us all together, in the same room. I really do appreciate all the work that you've been doing out of the goodness and kindness.
I really appreciate your support. It has meant a lot to us.
All right. Well, thank you. Again, health is wealth. It's way up.
And I will say, it's like a lot of times the elected officials or the professionals, but I really say it's like the community groups, the on-the-ground groups that really help make a community wonderful. So I want to thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much.
Yay. All right, it's way up, guys.
Way up.
Hey, ladies, it's Angela Yee. As women, we put our hearts into everything. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month, and it's time to focus on our heart health. Release the Pressure wants to help Black women look at self-care as an act of self-preservation. During High Blood Pressure Education Month, let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP for official rules and a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. That's iHeartRadio.com/RTP. It's Angela Yee, and y'all know I love to travel. Well, my friends in the U.S. Virgin Islands and I are inviting you to the gorgeous islands of St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John. From the amazing food to the warm hospitality, culture, and gorgeous beaches, USVI has everything you want in a destination, and no passport is required when traveling from the U.S. Start planning your getaway at visitusvi.com. That's visitusvi.com. USVI, naturally in rhythm.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.